well, it's Rock Reach Sunday. Are y'all ready for this? I hope so. And if I talk really fast, it's because I'm so excited. I'm so, so, so excited. We have been working towards this and praying over this and wanting to explain it to you. And so that gets to be my part for today. I get to explain to you what all this Rock Reach is about. And so I'm just going to start with the why of Rock Reach. The why is because today, on Rock Reach Sunday, we want to inspire you. We want to, by inspire, I mean we want to motivate you. We want to energize you. We want to excite you about what God has called us to, what God has asked each of us to do on his behalf in this world. Because what I come to know is that God wants to use us. Now, y'all, he doesn't need us. He's God. He is sovereign. He is in charge of everything, and he could do everything he wanted on his own. But the God of the universe invites us to join him in his work. That should inspire and excite and motivate us to answer his call. And so, but this morning, I think our team really wants to just inspire you even more, to motivate you, to show you once again what it is that God is calling you to do. We want to encourage you to do that thing. So we want to inspire you, we want to encourage you, we want to give you some encouragement that it is possible, that yes, your life is busy, yes, you have tough times, yes, there are obstacles in the way, and sometimes it's hard to find exactly where you want to serve, but it is not impossible, and we want to encourage you that God has a place for you to serve him, to be his hands and feet, to use the gifts that he has given you, the shape that he has made you in order to be on mission for him, to reach into the lives of other people and share the gospel with them. So we want to inspire you. We want to encourage you. We also want to enlighten you a little bit or educate you or just give you some information today. We have some points of passion that for years and years and years we have been reaching out to and partnering with and helping to fund them and to go to work with them in missions. Y'all, they're doing incredible jobs in our city. They're doing incredible jobs regionally. They're doing incredible jobs internationally to spread the word of the gospel, to do the work of Jesus in this place. So we don't have to duplicate anything. We get to come alongside those that God has already called and that are already doing some very great missions in our city. So we just want to kind of enlighten you, I guess is the word, to educate you about what those are, the places we've already been partnering with, and invite you to join in there and to show you what those places are where you might get involved in that. Some of those will be things that we do as a church together, and so we'll give you those opportunities, but we're also going to give you the names of those ministries and the contact information, and you can call them yourself because they are begging for volunteers. And so you don't have to go through the church in order to do that, but if God's calling you and he's shaped you and he wants you to be partnering with a ministry that's already established in the city, we want to connect you. So we want to kind of enlist you today. So that's kind of the why. Or the what. That's the what. That's what we're doing. The why is because God invited us to. He's asked us to. He's shown us how to do that. You know, in Matthew 9, it tells a story about Jesus. He's going from village to village, from town to town. And it says that as he went, he was teaching. Y'all, he got involved. He didn't just go to the towns and look and see the people that were there. He got involved. He started teaching them and serving them. It says he was healing the sick. Jesus was on mission. He was teaching them about the kingdom that was to come. And it also says that he turned to his disciples. And I just love this because he didn't just do it himself. It says that he looked upon those in the city, and y'all, this is, was his reaction to that city. And tell me if it sounds like anything that's going on right now. What he saw, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Does that sound like anything that you know of today? Do we have any people who are harassed and helpless, who are running astray, who are lost? They're all around us, y'all. They're all around us. Jesus saw them, and he was moved to the very inner core of his being to do something about these people. And he just didn't want to do it himself. What he says when he looks at his disciples, he said, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus served, and he recognized the need that was there, and he had such compassion on them, and he wanted to involve his disciples in helping to meet the needs of those who were harassed and helpless and lost. And so he said, look what's out there. Look what's out there for us to serve. Let's get busy doing the work and then asking God to send other people. And so that's part of the why today, because there's lost people out there, and they need to know Jesus, and they need to know the love of a father. They need to have some physical needs met. They need to have spiritual needs met, emotional needs met, and God has invited us in. That's why. That's why. Another why is because, you know what? We were first loved. And because we were first loved, he has called us to love other people. The God of the universe, the sovereign Lord of all things, has said, please join me in my work. How do we decline that invitation if we really believe that he has invited us in? That's an invitation that when I RSVP, I have to say yes to, because I can't turn him down. He has loved me with an everlasting love, unconditional. I didn't have to pay the price for the sin that it cost him in order for me to receive that love. And he's invited me in. I'm in. I'm in. Are you in? Are you ready to go on mission with him? You see, because he's loved us, but then he didn't just leave it at loving us. He commanded. His greatest commandment is that we love him back. That's a pretty easy commandment. To love him back after he's loved me the way he's loved me. So he's asked us to love him back, but then he says, but then I want you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's what missions is all about. Because when we get a proper view of God and we love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and then we look out and then we look at ourselves and get a proper view of ourselves knowing I can't survive without that love, then that leads us to a proper view of those other people and commands us, demands of us that we go out and we serve. That's our call. So he loves us, he commands us, and then he commissions us. He says, go. As you're going, make disciples. Teach them about me. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As you're going in this life, do that. It doesn't have to be a special appointment on my calendar to be able to share to where I'm going to go have a mission day. I'm supposed to be doing that every day. Wherever I go, whatever I do, being on mission for my God. Can you imagine if we were all doing that every day and then we also had these special appointments that we as a group, a body, a family of believers were doing missions together? What an impact that would have, not just in Lakeland, not just in Florida, not just in the United States, but all over the world. How exponentially God can take our efforts to serve him, our work, our yielded surrender in missions to reach other people. Can you imagine? It's an incredible invitation that he's given us, and it's so exciting. Why else? Why else do we do this today? Why else are we so excited about ramping up our missions, about going another level, all the time, going another level to reach people? Because we know and we believe that when we serve God, it changes us. It not only changes us, it changes those we serve. Not only changes those we serve, but those who are watching, people who are choosing to serve selflessly, those people are changed. God wants to change our lives by working through us. He wants to change those whom we serve, and he wants to change people who are just watching. In Romans 2, verse 4, Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he tells them that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And I just want to tell you what it says in the Message paraphrase, because I memorized in the King James when I was little, and it says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. But in the Message, it says this: in his kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand and leads us into radical life change. That's what God's kindness does for us. It changes us from the inside out. And if we will be vessels of that kindness to other people, and show that kind of kindness to a world that is hurting and lost and in need of a Savior, they will experience the radical life change that the Savior brings to their life. Isn't that what we want? Is our heart really for people? Or is it to just come together on a Sunday morning and sing praise songs and hear the word and go out and wait until next week and come back and do it again? That's not what God called us to. Now, God could have taken us home the minute we had salvation. He could have said, okay, you're saved. You've got heaven. Come on in, sister. But he didn't. He left me here. He left you here because he has work for us to do. He wants to use us in his work. That's what Rock Reach is about. That's the why of Rock Reach. The rock in Rock Reach stands for reaching our community with kindness. Yeah, it's the name of our church too. That's convenient. But it's also who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. And he changes us with his kindness, and he calls us to do the same. Will we do that? That's the what and the why, and the who is anybody he puts in front of us. Oh, Lord God, we have prayed that you would put the people in front of us that you want us to impact for the kingdom, and that we would be faithful servants to do just that. That's the who. Anybody who's breathing, anybody who's alive and needs to hear the gospel, anybody who needs Jesus, we want to be used by him to serve. The where? Here. It begins here. But also regionally, nationally, internationally, we want to be obedient to God wherever he leads. So where is he going to take us? We don't know, but we're certainly excited to see what he's going to do through this. So it's not just a Sunday. It's not just a fancy Rock Reach Sunday where we're getting excited for one day, getting to have some good food together, getting a new t-shirt. All of that's fun, but it's so much more. We want it to be our lifestyle. We want it to be our life, that we are on mission for the Lord God Almighty, humbled that he invites us in and ready to say yes to the invitation. Will you? Won't you? Will you jump in? Will you find a place for God to use you? Not someday. Now. Now. Let's not wait. Let's get busy doing the work of God. Let's take it to the next level, reaching the world for Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to. And we have a great team, y'all, who is committed to help lead us in that. Bob and Sabre, where are you? They're somewhere in here. Bob and stand up, Sabre. Bob and Sabre Myers are leading our team. She's very shy. She doesn't like to be recognized. But they have done an incredible job of getting this team together. Y'all, everybody who's on the team, stand up. And then a few of you are going to come on up to the stage. Those of you who are going to come on up here and talk, come on up. So these are the people who are representing other ministries in our city and doing the work of the Rock Reach team. Thank them for what they've done. But the way that you're going to thank them today is go over and talk to them. They've made contacts with the ministries in our city, and they have ways that you can serve. They have information for you. They can enlighten you. They can educate you. They can help to equip you for that. So would you go over and visit them today? We were going to explain to you later how you do that and to have a meal and to be able to get all this information. But these are just a few of our team leaders, and I'm going to have them tell you what ministry they are aligned with and that they are working closely with and a little bit about their passion for that. So y'all listen carefully.
Good morning. It's hard to follow that up. I should have stood down there. That was awesome. My name is Jeff Shills. I'm the Florida Director of Idols Aside Ministries. We're a ministry that goes after fatherless youth. But I wanted to start just by saying thank you just for the love and encouragement and prayers that this church has not only given me, but us up here. You know, I have the opportunity to speak in front of a lot of churches and share with a lot of churches. But I can tell you through y'all's faith and obedience and prayer and support and encouragement, y'all actually have ministries here in this town that have people that work full-time for them. Parker Street Ministries, One More Child, Florida Baptist Children's Home, Idols Aside Ministries, school teachers that are influencing so much of this community already because of your love and your prayers and encouragement. So my heart just wants to say thank you for doing what you're doing already and just keep on keeping on. And for y'all that are not doing it, you know, just pray. Pray that God will lay a burden on your heart today You know, so our mission for Idols Aside Ministry is to bring awareness to the fatherless epidemic that our country faces. It's honestly like the unspoken epidemic in my heart, and you know, so many homes are broken, and it's just become normal now for kids to be raised by single moms and single grandmas. It's just normal, and so we want to bring awareness, and certainly, you know, through that awareness, we want to step in the gap, not only for those kids, but we also want to meet the single moms and single grandmothers and the foster moms where they're at, because it's not just about the kids, because we can go and pour the gospel into the kids and send them home, and man, if there's not being reinforced at home, it just doesn't do any good. So we, as a local church, wants to come alongside those single moms, and we want to love on them, we want to meet their needs, and to be honest with you, you know, 90% of those single moms are not in church. Why? Because they don't feel accepted. And you know what? That's us. It's the same way. We're the same way, right? So we just want to go and meet their needs. You know, our vision is in order to introduce them to a loving father, because most of the kids that come out to the ranch and come to these retreats, they don't want to hear the word father. When they hear the word father, they think a drunk, alcoholic, man that beat my mom, man that walked out on me, man that left my life when I was born. So how do you introduce them to a father God when they cringe and say, wait a second? So our heart is to introduce them to a creator God, and we do that through sports and outdoors. We do a lot of hunting and fishing retreats, but we just want to show them that, you know, the grass, the birds, the bees, the trees, a lot of these things that these kids have never been exposed to before, that was created by a loving father. Not just a creator father, but a loving father that will never let them down. So, and we just want to walk alongside of them after it. You know, the retreats are just a small little tip on the iceberg, but it's the mentoring and discipling afterward. I was just talking to Sonny a little while ago. You know, it was just Sam Averett and I just going and playing basketball at the Florida Baptist Children's Home with some kids that came out to a retreat, you know? And I didn't know that Sam was going to, you know, kick my hiney and pig, but he did. But it's just going and spending time with these kids and reinforcing and loving on them. So we have a few service opportunities, leading worship and retreats at events. There's a few more spaces available. Monty signed up for most of the retreats to come and lead worship, but there is a couple other spots available. Certainly cooking and cleaning for retreats, and even cooking and cleaning and helping single moms that come into our program. Being a prayer warrior, don't take that lightly. You know, we're not able to do anything that we do without having y'all praying for us every single day. And we can feel it. I can tell you every morning when we wake up and we hit our knees, we feel y'all praying alongside of us. And then certainly mentoring and discipling and stepping into the life of a youth. So, and I'll tell you, you know, I'll make you a promise. I mean, you will encounter Jesus getting involved with these ministries. I promise you that. It happens every day to us. And I know it's happening in your work lives. But coming out here into some of these kids and some of these moms that have never experienced that before, you'll encounter Jesus, I promise you.
Well, good morning. My name is Abigail Myers. I work at Florida Baptist Children's Home as a Woman Child. I'm like Kim. I talk really fast when I get excited. I've been at the Children's Home for almost 3 years now, and within that time, I've just learned so much about our community and what the needs are. And I've just fallen in love with what we do. So our mission at Florida Baptist Children's Homes and One More Child is to provide Christ-centered services to children and families in need. And we do that in so many different ways, whether that's working with single moms or foster families or the working poor or internationally through our missions and sponsoring children across the globe. We do that in so many different ways. And so with that, there's so many opportunities that we need help with. We can't do what we do without community and volunteers. So there's lots of opportunities. I have a lot of information at my booth that you can come and look at, and I can kind of get you plugged in. But I would just encourage you, if you've been on the fence about getting involved, let this be the catalyst for that. Don't say no anymore. If you're being called to do something and you have minimal time or minimal money and you don't know how the Lord's going to use that, He will. And he'll use it in greater ways than you would ever imagine. So I just want to encourage you, get plugged in, find, you know, ask questions, find a place that you can call home. And I just, for the youth, this is something that's always kind of tugged at my heart. When we go to Eagle Rock in Tennessee, we feel so broken when we see those kids because we're like, wow, they have so little. We have that in Lakeland. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of needs, and our ministries are meeting those needs, and we need your help to continue meeting them. So if you're interested, just come and ask questions. I'll be up there, and thank you for your time.
Hi, I'm Jenna Neal, and I am representing International Missions today. We typically partner with Florida Baptist Children's Home and One More Child, as Abby was saying. to go on our mission trips. And here at The Rock, we've been to the Dominican Republic and Guatemala. And for the question that you had for us about like why we're passionate about it, I just wanted to express that through a story from my experience of when we were in Guatemala. So while we were over there, Nicolette and I, we worked in a class with babies. They weren't like babies, but they were, you know, between like 1 and 3 years old. And one of my favorites, we're not really supposed to have favorites, but one of my favorites, his name was Malachias, and he was so cute, so smiley, just I felt so much joy whenever I was holding him in my arms. And at the Malnutrition Center in Guatemala, they have workers there who work within the classrooms every single day. Seriously, guys, they are superheroes. And she showed Nicolette and I a picture of Malachias whenever he first came to the Malnutrition Center. I said I wasn't going to cry. But it was just like a really, the picture was just literal like skin and bones like laying on a table. And it was just like a really shocking and eye-opening photograph, like seeing that and then seeing like this same little boy like sitting next to me, like healthy and happy. And it just really showed me that like, wow, like the Holy Spirit seriously works in big ways in this Malnutrition Center. And it's not just there, like all the trips that One More Child takes people on for missions, like that happens at those places too. And it just to be able to have the opportunity to be able to like plug in and like, I don't know why I'm crying so much right now. Just to have the opportunity to like plug in and like do that and see that is, it's life changing, like seriously. So I know that sometimes international missions can be like kind of scary, like the idea of getting on a plane and going to a different country to serve. Like I know I, shocker, was crying the day that I was leaving to go to Guatemala, was super nervous just because I didn't know what to expect, but there's just, it's amazing to see like how the Lord can just kind of put a blanket over those fears and just show you like, hey, like you were faithful in doing this and like here's why like I wanted you to do it. And sometimes people are worried about like language barriers, but like the love of Christ like pierces through all language barriers, all barriers that are presented internationally when you go to a different country. And I've only done it once. I want to do it more. And if you even have an inkling of the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart to travel internationally, don't let fear keep you from going, like, or it being expensive or anything like that. Like, the Lord provides a way, and it will be so evident and clear, like, why he is bringing you there, like, if you go. So thank you for tuning into my tear show, and I'm going to give it to Emily.
All of those are going to be really hard to follow. But my name is Emily Johnson, and I'm representing Parker Street Ministries. I've had the opportunity to work there for the past year and a half now. And Parker Street really lives by the motto and the verse of the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. It's very focused on the Parker Street neighborhood right here in Lakeland. And they're committed to gospel-centered community development. And we do that by living in the neighborhood. The full-time staff that works there live in the neighborhood and do life with these people and make relationships. We have family classes like financial fitness and future workforce workshops and things like that to really equip our community to go out and make a difference when generational poverty has been the normal for them and really break that and bring them into this gospel-centered, thriving community that it really has become and is still becoming every day. So big ways that The Rock is involved in that is in our academic enrichment program, which is an after-school program that we hold at Parker Street. It's about 100 kids, and they're ranging all the way from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade, and even in college, really equipping these children. So the youth has been doing first Monday of every month, coming and tutoring our children and sharing the gospel with them, reading with them, laughing with them, playing on the playground, just really being that safe place and providing that place that they can come and they know they're going to get a healthy snack. They're going to get people that love them, that are going to help them and are for them. So that's a huge way that you can get plugged into your community by coming and just really feeding into the lives of the next generation of Lakeland. So love to see you at all of our booths and at my booth just to get more information.
And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more, so many more ministries that you can get involved in and what God has already been doing in The Rock. But we just feel him calling us to go deeper, to go further, to go more obediently with him, more consistently. So you're invited. You have your invitation. You get to decide how you are SVP. So having heard from all of these people who God has taken firmly by the hand with his kindness and radically changed their lives, let's go. Let's do this thing. Monty's going to come and tie this all together with God's word. So thank you guys so much for sharing from your hearts and about your ministries.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Kim, for sharing your heart. And I just want to close this morning just by pointing us back to the greatest example of serving that we have, and that's Jesus Christ. And serving doesn't come natural to me, but it's what I really want in my life. It's what I really desire to begin to become a lifestyle. So let me just read real quickly my favorite story in all the Bible, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And, you know, we're in this series called What's Next. Last week we talked about it, seeking God. It begins there, exploring him, getting to know him, asking questions, coming into a personal forever relationship with him. And today, once you get to that place, today we're talking about, you know, okay, now that I'm in relationship with him, how do I begin to live beyond myself? How do I begin to serve others through my relationship with Jesus Christ? And so that's the what's next today is serve. So if you have your Bibles real quickly, I'm going to read John chapter 13. And it says this: "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave his world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." I love that. I love that verse. And then it says in verse 2, "The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from his meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist." I want you to kind of really hear what's going on in this passage. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him in just a few hours. That he was going to be tortured and he was going to be crucified. Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him, right? Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. He knew that God had given him all power. And even though he knew that, he responded in a crazy way. I begin to think about that. If I had known that, if I knew who I was, if I knew that I was the Son of God, that I had all power, if I knew all that, I don't think I would have reacted the way Jesus reacted. I think I probably would have said, hey guys, you know, I am the Son of God, right? You know, do you think you could serve me? You think you could serve me? Or, you know, listen, it's going to be a pretty rough couple of days coming up. You think you could wash my feet? But he didn't, right? He didn't say that. He knew all that stuff, but he allowed himself to be interrupted so that he could serve others. Here's what I've learned over the years, that sometimes interruptions in our lives leads to divine opportunities, divine connections with other people. As we allow ourselves to be interrupted from the flow of life and really begin to reach out with kindness, with God's kindness in other people's lives, it brings this divine connection. And so Jesus did exactly what he came to do. He served. And as Kim said, you know, what about us? What about you and me? You know, why are we here? Why are we here at The Rock? Or, you know, are we here to serve or to be served? Are we here to really be a part of what God is doing in people's lives every week? And are we here to really begin to reach out into our community with God's kindness? Or is it about us? We just come in, we listen to the message, and then leave and get on with our life. God calls us to do more than that. He wants us to begin to serve those around us. Verse 5, it says, "After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." And then verse 6, he said, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' And Jesus replied, 'You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.'" In verse 8, he says, "No, Peter protested, 'You will never wash my feet.' And Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. It's really the most pivotal part of the entire story. It goes beyond the basin and the washing of feet. It kind of begins to symbolize that Jesus was not only just washing feet, he was really washing the sins away from his disciples' heart. The foot washing was really just an external physical act that pointed to an internal spiritual reality. Jesus says, you can't belong to me because like us, Peter had sins and he needed them to be forgiven. He just didn't need his feet washed. He needed his heart clean. And so if you see what Peter said, Peter said, okay, well then clean all of me, not just my feet, clean everything about me. So let me just share four things that Jesus teaches about serving others. First of all, serving others actually puts me first. Jesus says in Matthew 20, so the last will be first and the first will be last. Chapter 23 says, the greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Something supernatural takes place when we kneel down and we begin to do something for others that nobody else will do. The last will be first. He kind of elevates us in that moment. Second thing is serving others doesn't always make sense. Verse 7, it says, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Giving your life away, being on mission for God, living beyond yourself will sometimes make no sense. No sense. I was tutoring in Parker Street a couple of months ago, and I was sitting with a fifth grader, and we were doing math together. And I was trying to figure out how to divide percentages, and I was lost, man. I was Googling it, man. I was trying to figure out how in the world. And I'm sitting there with this guy, and I'm going, what in the world am I doing? You know, here I am this afternoon trying, you know, and I said, I don't even know how to do this, you know. And I just realized in that moment, it's not about math. It's just about sitting there with that young boy and sharing the kindness of God with him and allowing God to begin to make a difference in his life. Sometimes it will make absolutely no difference. Sense. Just reach down and grab the towel and serve others. Third thing is serving others is your ultimate calling. Verse 12 says, when the Lord had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he said, do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I mean, the guys there, the disciples are thinking and they're competing to sit on his left or his right on the, you know, when Jesus gets to the throne, when he becomes king. But Jesus says, no, in the kingdom, you grab the towel and you wash feet. And in the process, you express the love, your love for God and for others. I mean, like the disciples, we sometimes want thrones and we want titles. But Jesus says, no, go to the towel. Because that's that great life you want, it's in the towel. Serve. I shared with the men a few months ago, I love paper towels. All right, I love me some paper towels. And I like to buy them in bulk, you know. And have you ever thought about it? You ever thought about just the paper towel story? I mean, I think about it. I mean, you know, he said, I can just imagine that, you know, this paper towel saying, hey, I enjoy being in this role with you, right? You know, I mean, I love our little small group we got here. But hey, I'm waiting for the spill. You know, somebody spill something. Somebody spill some coffee. Some kid throw up because I'm ready. I'm created to be in the messiness of life, right? And that's what we're created for. We are created to step into the brokenness of humanity and to serve others. You know, to serve others. Put me in a paper towel small group so I can begin to serve. True life is serving others, being on mission for God. It's what he's called us to do. And as I said, one of my goals in life is to begin to serve in a way that it just becomes a part of who I am. My lifestyle, my relational culture. To serve without recognition. I don't have to be recognized by anybody. To serve without you know, without reservation. I just step in. I allow my world to be interrupted, and I step into the messiness of life, and I just share Jesus. Not expecting anything in return, no reward, just serving others for Jesus Christ. Reaching our community with the kindness of God so that He can radically change their lives. And in the process, you know what He does? He changes me. He radically changes me. And so our question today is, will you join us on this rock reach journey? Will you, you know, rock Lakeland with us? Will you begin to come alongside of us and continue to reach our community with kindness so that He can do His incredible, radical, changing work in the lives of people? There's power in the serving. So will you do that? Will you take that next step? And will you serve? Live beyond yourself and begin to serve others and watch God not only change their world, but also change yours in the process. Pray with me, please. You know, as disciples had to let Jesus wash them in order to truly belong to Him, we have to do the same. We have to let Jesus wash us if we want to belong to Him. He says, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. And the same is true of us. The disciples had mud and filth, and they needed to be, you know, their feet to be washed. But every one of us has shame and sin that needs to be washed off our hearts. And I think sometimes we find ourselves too proud to let Jesus do it, or we deny that we even have sins that need to be forgiven. But every one of us has sinned, and every one of us need to be forgiven. And the good news is that Jesus isn't just willing to bend down and wash your feet. He was willing to go to the cross to wash away your sins. And that's good news. That's the power of the cross and the resurrection. He's not just willing to wash your feet, but He was willing to die on a cross to wash our sins. And He's ready to do that today. And I don't know where you are today, but in your relationship with God, but He is willing and ready to wash your sins away and to make you brand new and to give you a new heart so that you can then begin to share that good news with others through serving them and through sharing His kindness with them so that He can bring change into their lives as well. So wherever you are this morning, right here in this place, you have opportunity for whatever your next step is. Maybe it's to accept Him and to receive His grace and His forgiveness for the very first time and invite Him in to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you know Him in that personal relationship, and your next step is really to begin to live that out in your relationship with your family, at your workplace, to really be committed to what God is calling you to do, to live beyond yourself, and to begin to serve others. So right now, in this moment of prayer, would you just ask God to do His work in your life? To accept Him as Lord and Savior, invite Him in to be your Savior and the forgiver of your sins. To recommit your life to Him and to surrender everything to His call of reaching out and sharing the good news with other people in the way that you serve them. Father, give us the courage to take whatever step we need today to become more and more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, help us to be found worthy of being used by You, serving You, Father, through the way that we serve others. Father, help us to be ready to do that here, wherever You lead us in this community and around this world. Father, help us to be ready to do that even in our own families, in our marriages, and with our children, in our workplace, Father. May we be on mission for You, reaching our community with Your kindness so that You can radically change lives as we serve You by serving others, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.